Good morning and happy Sabbath, church. It's good to see you here and this morning. It is fresh a little bit this morning. Coming from Chilliwack yesterday when I woke up, man, boy, you can smell it. You can probably even taste it, the smoke. You can look at your car, there's some ashes on it. If you look carefully. But we thank God that this morning was so beautiful and fresh. God prepared the Sabbath for us to worship him. Amen? I just want to welcome you in a very special way, and I'm glad that you are here. Sinclair, good to see you. Normally, you don't sit by yourself. Is Hilbert okay? Is he okay? He wasn't feeling okay. Okay, we're going to put him in our prayer. Yeah, it's not normal for you to sit by yourself. But we want to say welcome. We're glad you are here. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can be here to worship you, especially as we remember you dying on the cross for each one of us, your blood being spilled on that cross for me, for all of us. But the good news is that, Lord, when they put you in that tomb, we thought, those disciples and everybody else thought it was done. But indeed, sin indeed was done. But life was restored. On the third day, you came out of that tomb and giving us hope. And as we celebrate you today, Lord, I pray that you will draw us closer to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Remembering Christ. Christ said, remember me. If you look in the book of Luke chapter 22, verses 14 to 20, 1 Corinthians 11, 23 to 26, that was read. Remembering Christ experiences his grace, restoring relationship, and recommitting ourselves to his mission. Christ's death is a gift for us. It is a free gift for all of us. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever received a gift that you don't deserve it? Have you ever received a gift that you yourself is not able to afford it, and someone just offer it to you, and you are like, wow. Wow. That you cannot even pay it back. Well, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrated his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Can you say, Christ died for me? While I was a sinner, Christ died for me. At the cross, Jesus demonstrated love that does not depend upon our perfection. Christ offered his love for you and I on the cross that did not depend on how good you are, how smart you are, or how well-dressed you are, or how smart you may be. No. He just offered it for free, freely given. I just ask a question to all of you. Have you ever received a present someone has given to you that you don't deserve it? You know, in 1994, I just completed my high school in 1993 in my home country, Sudan, before it is split into two countries. I studied in a displaced camp school that I was able to finish high school. And during those times, every child, every student that finished high school, they're automatically taken for military training. Where they call it conscript, or Conscript, yes. It was a compulsory to go into the army. Get training within 6 months, you get deployed, because that time it was a war time in my home country, a civil war. And as I finished my high school, the government was looking for young people like myself who have just finished high school. The good thing is that while I was in high school, I joined the cadet. And the cadet in my home country is like fully training in the military, in the army. And so I have some papers, I have some documents, I have an ID card that show that I have taken some training. And the only thing that was left, if I got caught, I would be deployed immediately in the front line, no more training, because I got the training already. And so I started praying, asking God what to do. And God opened a way for me to leave the country. And I left Sudan through the border into Eritrea. Eritrea just became an independent state or country. That was in 1991, 92, I think. And so I enter in 1994, I enter to Eritrea, in Eritrea. I was there for a few weeks. And I was there, the field president in Sudan of our church wrote me a letter saying, when you get there, give this letter to our church officer. And if he can help you, maybe he can help. And so I arrived in Eritrea. Of course, long story short, I arrived there and I took the letter, gave it to him. And he told me, well, the president has given him instruction that when I get to here, he should help me to buy me a ticket to go to Ethiopia, a ticket to travel by bus. And also, in addition to that, if I needed a place to stay, to sleep, I don't have no money, he should accommodate me. Now, did I deserve that? Not at all. And I was running out of money. He has two rooms, one for him and one for his daughter. And as I was looking for a place to stay, he had to ask his daughter to go and stay with a friend for these few days so that I can come and stay in his place, in his daughter's room, and sleep there and be fed, be provided a shelter. Did I deserve that? Not at all. Another instances, situation. I was in Ethiopia. Again, I went there and registered as a refugee. And life was challenging and difficult. And I went to college, Ethiopian Adventist College, with nothing, no money at hand. And talked to the school if they can help. Said they don't have money. And so the news went around saying that there's some students from South Sudan who are in need of help going to school, being paid the tuition and fees. So I came back to Addis Ababa. It was during a Sabbath worship lesson study like what we had today, this morning, Brother David. There's a Sabbath school for foreigners. There's for locals who speak the language. So I went and attended for foreigners, where there's a lot of diplomats who are Adventists, who are missionaries. What happened in that discussion? People are going around introducing themselves, who they are, what they are doing there in Ethiopia. And it came to me, I introduced myself. And lo and below, there was another couple who are missionary running a leprosy hospital. And as I introduced myself, they're like, oh, are you Okumu? Are you the student from South Sudan studying at Ethiopian Adventist College? I said, yes, that's me. Say, okay, we heard about you. We heard about students who are needing help. So can we talk after the sunset? And indeed, after the sunset, we exchanged the phone number. We called each other. And finally, they told me on a Sunday morning we should meet, because I was going to be leaving, going back to college. And we met, and I told them my story. And lo and behold, they say, here is a blanket, brand new blanket. This is for you. With another money for me to go and buy stuff to go to school. Friends, I did not deserve that. I did not deserve that generosity. And at the same time, they promised that they are going to come and pay my school fees. Did I deserve that? There's no way I can even pay that. Friend, Jesus paid it all. Imagine receiving a gift that you could never afford to purchase yourself or even return it. You don't earn it. You don't negotiate for the price. You simply receive it. That's what we call grace. Christ died for you and I on the cross so that you and I can have life. The Lord's Supper reminds us. It reminds you and I what we are celebrating today. That I could not, you could not save yourself. But Jesus gave himself for you and for me. Thank you, Sister Effie, for that beautiful story that you have shared with us. And one of these Bible texts, actually, you have read to the children. The Lord's Supper is more than a religious ceremony. It is an invitation from Jesus to remember, to receive, to reconcile, and to recommit our life to him. Friends, the Lord Jesus died for you and for me for a purpose that you and I can have life and more abundantly. The Lord's table is not a table for people who have everything together. The communion service, the Lord's Supper, is not for people who got it all together. It is a table where sinners encounter the grace of Christ. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." See, sometimes we announce ahead of time that when we are taking the Lord's Supper, we need to prepare ourselves, our heart, for Jesus, so that we can sort everything out. Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." You and I need to remember what the Lord has done for you and for me. The Lord's Supper reminds us of Christ's sacrifice. Jesus took the bread and said, "This is my body, which is given for you." The bread points us to Jesus giving himself for us. We know how bread is so essential for us. There's no place, there's no home you can find without bread. Can it be possible, a home without Jesus, the bread of life? Christianity is not what we do for God. It begins with what God has done for us through Christ Jesus. It is what God has done for you and for me. The cup reminds us of the new covenant. Jesus said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you." We go in the Old Testament. Jeremiah says, "I will put my law in their minds and write in their hearts." In the Old Testament, you know, the 10th commandment was displayed all over the place. People see it, but their heart was far away from God. Their hearts was not changed. And God spoke to prophet Jeremiah that, no, it's not going to be on the wall. It's not going to be somewhere. It's going to be on the heart. And when it's written in our heart, everywhere we go, the Ten Commandments is in our heart. To love God with all our heart, with all our mind, and to love people as we love ourselves. That is what the Lord's Supper is all about. That's what God promised for you and I. And as we celebrate the Lord's Supper today, may we draw closer to him. The cup reminds us of the new covenant. God does not merely want to change our behavior. From a human perspective, we always look into people's changed behavior. He wants to change our heart. He's interested in our heart. The Christian life is not simply try it harder. Well, we can try as much as we want. We fail if we try our own. It is allow Christ to transform you and me. He is the one who can only change and transform our life. The Lord's Supper reminds us that salvation is based on God's grace and Christ's sacrifice on the cross for you and for me. Wow. Wow, what a message. The Lord's Supper calls us to examine our hearts. Examine what? Our hearts. If we examine our hearts, God is ready to work with us. Paul says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Examine everyone else. Our tendency as human beings, what do we try to do? We are good at examining other people. We are good at screening other people. We are good at dissecting other people. We look from the toes to the top of the head of people. But Jesus said, no. We got to what? Examine ourselves. Sometimes we are very good at identifying the problem in other people while overlooking our own hearts. Before coming to the Lord's Supper table, we can ask to examine ourselves, to examine myself, but not others. Dissecting and examining and evaluating other people, let's leave that to God. Our job is to embrace them. Our job is to be kind to them. Our job is to love them unconditionally. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't correct one another. There's a difference between correcting one another than dissecting, than analyzing, than criticizing other people. To examine our hearts, is there bitterness in my heart? That's something that I need to examine. Is there someone I need to forgive? Is there someone you need to forgive? Have I damaged someone through my words? Through my spoken word? That's examination that I need to do to myself. Am I willing to surrender my life to Christ? Is there something God is asking me to change? Is there something God asking you to change? As a person, the Lord's Supper is an opportunity to say, Lord, search my heart. Wow. Psalm 139, 23 says, search me, O God, and know my heart, and lead me in the way everlasting. Search me. Is that your desire? I want God to search me. And he's willing to search us and make us clean and make us ready for him. Search me. Lead me in the way of everlasting. The Lord's Supper calls us to reconciliation. To be reconciled, Paul says, for we, though many, are one bread, one body, for we all partake of that one bread. We come from different backgrounds, my brothers and sisters. We come from different cultures, from different homes, different generations, different experiences, different personalities. God makes it so special. But then it makes it very challenging sometimes. Because of all these differences, we clash with one another. We clash. We got into the fight. But God is saying, we belong to one body, regardless. Sabbath before, I talk about the fruit of the Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, 23, that if we remember someone has something against us, we should seek reconciliation. That does not mean every relationship will immediately become perfect or great. It does mean that Christ called us to pursue peace, humility, forgiveness, and reconciliation whenever it is possible and appropriate. What relationship does Jesus want me to surrender to him today? What relationships is he asking you and me today to surrender to him? What is he asking for you and I? Jesus served even those who would fail him. Jesus knew his disciples' weaknesses. He knows their strength. And yet, he served them at a table. Jesus knew that Judas is going to deny him. He knew that Peter is going to deny him. But yet, what did he do? He would have said, Peter, I know you're going to deny me. Get out. You can't sit with me on this table. He would have said, Judas, I know you're going to betray me. Get out. What did he do? Wow. How many of us can do that? He read their heart. He knew them. He knew even the disciples. He knew that they're going to be running away and hiding when he's dying on the cross. But yet, chose to sit with them in that table. Jesus didn't say, because you are going to disappoint me, I refuse to serve you. Get out of here. Instead, he washed their feet. He went down. And one by one, including Judas, who betrayed him. I can't do that. I can't do that on my own. But with God, I can do it. John 13:14 said, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to do to one another. We kneel before one another. The powerful become servants. The proud become humble. The divided are invited to seek reconciliation and unity. The Lord's Supper says, in Christ's kingdom, greatness is measured by service. Wow. What an example. Our Savior, the Redeemer, the Creator of the whole world, coming down to wash the feet of the one who are going to betray him. the table pointing forward to Jesus' return. Paul says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes again." Wow. Every time we participate in the Lord's Supper, we proclaim Jesus' death. We proclaim Jesus rose from the dead. We proclaim Jesus coming again. That's why he said, "We will do this until I come back again." Friends, what a powerful message for you and I. The table points forward to Jesus' return. The communion service, therefore, contains both a cross and a promise. It tells us about the cross and also the promise that he's coming again. Oh, what a great promise. We remember Calvary, but we also anticipate the second coming of Jesus. What a good news. What a good news. The table sent us on a mission. You see, when they sat on the table, it sent us on a mission. You remember, I have been preaching on the topic of focus on mission. The Lord's Supper should not end with the closing prayer. It should send us into the world. We have to receive grace. Therefore, we become people who extend grace. We have received forgiveness. Therefore, we become people who practice forgiveness. We have experienced reconciliation with God. As we prepare to go food washing, the table sent us on a mission. We become ambassadors of reconciliation. We have an encountered Jesus. We tell others about Jesus. That's our mission. Communion is not merely a decision. It is a commissioning. A commissioning to go. We leave the table asking, "Lord, whom can I serve? Lord, whom can I serve? Lord, whom can I encourage? Lord, whom can I forgive? Lord, who can I invite to know you? Come to the table." He's inviting you and I to the table. The Lord's Supper and give us four invitations. Number one, remember. Let's remember what Jesus has done for you and for me. Number two, receive. We have to remember to receive. Let's receive his grace and his forgiveness. Number three, let's reconcile with one another. Let's seek peace with God and with others. Because he said, "Blessed are the peacemaker, for they shall be called sons and daughters of God." It's unfortunate sometimes we call our countries, places, a country of Christianity. And if we are Christian, if our countries are places where it is Christianity, we shouldn't be bombarding and causing all this chaos that's going around our world. He's inviting us to recommit. Let's give ourselves again to Christ and his mission. Jesus is still saying, "Do this in remembrance of me." No remembrance of our failure. No remembering of our conflict. No remembrance of our disappointment. Jesus is saying, "Remember me." Jesus is saying, "Remember my sacrifice." Jesus is saying, "Remember my grace." Jesus is saying, "Remember my love." Jesus is saying, "Remember my promises." Jesus is saying, "Remember that I am coming again." Amen? I'm looking forward to seeing him. How about you? This is a final appeal for all of us. Today, as we come to the Lord's table, let us come with humble hearts. If you are carrying guilt, bring it to Jesus. If you are carrying bitterness, bring it to Jesus. If we are carrying disappointment, let's bring it to Jesus. If you and I are wounded, if we have wounded someone, let's ask God for courage to seek reconciliation. If you and I, if someone has wounded you and I, let's ask Christ for grace to begin the journey of forgiveness. And if you and I have become discouraged in our faith, hear Jesus say, remember me. The table reminds us that our hope is not in ourselves. Our hope is in Jesus Christ. Until that day, let us remember him. Let us receive his grace. Let us serve one another. Let us proclaim his death and wait for his coming. Even so, Revelation 22 says, even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen? 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 I trust and believe that we can, with God's grace, with God's power, we can draw closer to him. So at this moment, we're going to be separating for our foot washing, for the art of humility. Now, I do understand some of you may have had time of, bending down. I will not encourage you to, go for foot washing. You can, stay here and wait when we come. Then we can all participate together. Okay, those of you who are able to, ladies, you go on the other side, I think in the fellowship room or... Okay, couples in the fellowship room, okay, and then ladies, you are the room beside by library and the fellowship room. And then for us guys, we are on this one of the study room, okay? So maybe Effie will play the piano while we just walk to, and then we will wash quickly and then we come back where we can celebrate and partake the Lord's Supper. Thank you. I don't know if we could use this, but I think I'm loud enough. But we'd like to welcome you back as we come from the practice of humility, of foot washing. And so as we welcome you back, Jesus says, we are doing this to remember him. And I'm glad that you have chosen to participate in the Lord's Supper to remember what he has done for us. And so as we look to the scripture that as we have read it, Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. So what are we remembering? What are you and I remembering? Remembering his death, his burial, and his resurrection. That he's not in the tomb, but he's alive. What a good news. We go through challenges in our life. We are getting a little older. Our body's aching. And we just think, Lord, come soon. Come soon. You know, I have my elder here who say he's an old man in a hurry. because time is running out. But I know God will never forsake us, never leave us. And so my prayer to all of us, let's be faithful to him until he comes. Amen. So as I welcome you in this celebration of the Lord's Supper, I'm going to ask Elder Gray to pray for the bread, and then Elder Stephen will pray for the wine. And if you are able, you can kneel. If you are not able to, please, you are not forced to.
Our Father in heaven, we just want to thank you and praise you for your love and giving Jesus to be one of us. And because he did what he did, gave his life for us, we're able to be forgiven, cleansed, made new. And so, Father, as we partake of this bread as a symbol of the body of Jesus, of his sacrifice for us, our hearts are filled with gratitude for love to you and what you've done for us. We pray that you would help us daily to be reminded, to remind ourselves of how much you love us. And as we partake of this bread, may it be a reconsecration, a recommitment to what you have done for us and what you want us to be and to do. So we just thank you and praise you for your love and for Jesus, our Savior. We thank you in his name. Amen.
The word of God says in the book of 1 Corinthians 11, 23-24, say after he broke the bread, after he gave thanks, he broke the bread and he told them, take and eat. This is my body. Do it in remembrance of me. May we all partake prayerfully. This moment, those of you who are able can kneel down. We can pray for the wine. Elder Stephen will pray for us.
Our kind, loving Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, that you sent your Son down to this earth, Lord, to die for us. And we thank you, Jesus, that you shed your blood for us, to offer us salvation, Lord. Because without that, we would be nowhere, Lord, and we would have no chance of anything. We thank you, Lord, for your ultimate sacrifice. We ask for a blessing on this wine, Lord, which symbolizes your blood that you shed for us to save us, Lord. We ask for a blessing on everybody here, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, for loving us. We ask these things in your name. Amen.
word of God says, in the same manner, after supper, he took the cup and said, this cup is a new covenant in my blood. You partake it as often as you can in remembrance of me. May we all partake to represent the blood that was spilled on the cross for you and I. Let's take it prayerfully. While the deacons are collecting the cups, if any one of you would like to share a testimony or something that God has been doing in your life and continue to do, this is the moment. I'd like to give you an opportunity to share a word of encouragement. You can also share a word of encouragement for all of us. So this is the moment. Anybody? Come in front. You can come in front here, or you can do it from your seat. Yes, Irene.
Thank you.
I just want to say that, particularly the camp meeting that we just had, I was very impressed with how much God loves us. I don't know what anybody else took out of camp meeting, but that's what I took. And as I look at what's going on in the world around us, you know, I have mixed feelings. I believe that Jesus is coming soon. At the same time, I see the work that needs to be done. And as some of you know where I've been in my life, I've seen an awful lot in the world. But there's so many people there that don't know Jesus, don't know the name of Jesus. Humanly speaking, it's an impossibility. But I think of Revelation 18. You remember Revelation 18, 8, verse 1? I saw another angel. How does it put it? With great power. That's not just the three angels' message. This is the angel of Revelation 18. The earth was lightened with his glory. What's it going to take? I believe that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the latter rain. What's it going to take to wake us up and do the work that God wants us to do? Because Jesus wants to come. He loves us. He doesn't like to see us in the kind of situation that we're in. And I just long for the day when that angel of Revelation 18 will show up. Amen. And it's up to us. When we're ready, God will pour out the latter rain. Yes. And the work will be finished. Mm. I just hope and pray that that's soon.
Amen.
I think of what Pastor said a few minutes ago that I've half jokingly, but not jokingly, I've said I'm an old man in a hurry. And I wish that was the truth for all of us. I wish we were in a hurry. When we realize what needs to be done to get this message to everyone in the world, because everyone has to have an opportunity. Jesus said, this gospel will be preached in all the world as a witness to every nation. And then he will come. But unless we get serious and do the work that he wants us to do, it's going to take a lot longer. So that's Amen. That's my concern.
Amen. Thank you.
Sure.
All right. If nobody else, I just want to say from the bottom of my heart, I want to be thankful, first of all, to God for his guidance and his protections, for my family, and for you as my church family. I pray for each one of you every day, and I thank you, and I want to continue to pray for you. Let's continue to be faithful to God. Be faithful to God in hardship, in joy, in challenges. Let's be faithful to him because he will never fail us. He will never forsake us. And I want to thank you for your faithfulness, and let's continue to be faithful until he comes. That's my prayer. That's my hope for all of us. That one day we wouldn't be sitting here. We'll be sitting at the feet of Jesus. That should be our prayer. May we all stand up together and then we can sing our closing song, number 185.
Strength from day to day. Without him, I will fall.
before I close with a word of prayer, I just want to share with you that I will be taking this coming week off. I will be taking my son. He decided to go to Burma, so I will be driving him as a family. We'll be traveling, so I pray for your traveling mercy. This is my second son, and so I will not be around during this week. If you need anything, just call Stephen. He can do everything.
Okay.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you are an awesome and wonderful God. We thank you also. I want to thank you for healing Effie with her hands. She is able to play the piano for us today. We give you the praise and the glory to you. And also want to thank for Deb, who have helped us Sabbath before and last Sabbath, for giving her that strength to be able to do it, Lord. And as thank you as we celebrate you, Lord, I pray that as we go home now, may you be with each one of us until we meet again. And if we don't meet again, always my prayer, we will meet at the feet of Jesus when he comes to take us home. This is our humble prayer. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.